Philippians chapter 3, starting from verse 1 again. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I am more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things we gain, what things were gained to me, these I have count loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now we try to continue to fellowship on Philippians chapter 3. I already mentioned that, you know, when you come to chapter 3 verse 1, already the conclusion. In other words, Paul is about to conclude the whole thing. But somehow, you know, for some reason we do not know. And Paul continued to share something, the following, all the way to the end. So the whole chapter 3, again, it is Paul who opened his heart to us. Of course, first to the Philippians. Now he really opened the heart to every one of us. So because he did that, now we are able to see him. We are able to understand. We are able to find out what is secret. Why his experience is the deepest one. Why this is really the way. You know, this life is not something very abstract. No. If this is something real in the life of Paul, it definitely must be real in our life. So by this way, we are able to enter into the depth of Christian life. That's why I always mention that this whole book, whole letter, supposed to tell us the deepest experience in Christian life. And this experience actually are from our daily life. It's not something, just from our daily life. Now we should learn how to go deeper and deeper. Now, when we come to chapter 3, as I just mentioned, for some reason we do not know, okay? But somehow, or probably just received the report. And again, everywhere you find a Judaizer. What do we mean by Judaizer? It means those people who believe in the Lord and also who got help from James in Jerusalem. Now, they always go out and tell the people, now, to believe is not enough. You know, if you initiate whole thing by the Holy Spirit, but you have to perfect it by your flesh, that means you have to obey the law of Moses, you have to go through circumcision, and this and so on and so forth. Now, normally, when Paul faced the Judaizer, he was very firm. So, if you read Galatians, you see how Paul deal with the Judaizer there. And also in Colossians. And when Paul tried to fight for the truth, he was really a good fighter. You know, we know that. He really to the point, and also you can feel the heat of that argument. So after you finish all those books, and you know, it is a wonderful letter, but it's very warm. You know, it's lots of heat. But the same thing happened. Now here you have a Judaizer. Here something probably in Philippi really, really caused them some kind of problem. So when somehow he has been reminded of this Judaizer, so that's why I said beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. But then how Paul deal with the situation? He did not deal with the doctrine or directly. No, probably Paul already done a lot in other epistles, but in this epistle Paul didn't do much. But somehow Paul tried to give his own testimony. So by this way we have the autobiography of Paul. You see, so he started to talk about his Christian life. And then we are able to appreciate, well, now we are able to discover what kind of life is that, especially with Paul. And then, brother, sister, somehow that's really, it's not, sometimes if you add something, probably it will let the theme being deviated from. For example, we know the theme, to me to live is Christ. So if any, now by the way Paul introduced himself, by the way Paul told his own story, does that help? Does that help us to go deeper with the study of this epistle? Definitely, you know, when Paul wrote this whole thing, if you want to find logic, it's difficult. If you want to have analysis, also difficult. Very true, because this very personal letter. But when the way Paul reviewed himself, and somehow there is different kind of logic. Then if you really see the Christian life, you almost can see roughly, in four stages. Now, is each chapter almost responsible for one stage. So by this way, somehow the intention of the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit always has something to say. Even Paul want to conclude the letter, then Paul said, the Holy Spirit said, wait, I have something more to say. So then somehow Paul began to present himself, or try to talk about himself, and in a very beautiful way, and a really nice letter. And now we are able to see Paul, you know, through his letter. Now Paul almost pour himself up to us. So by this way, we definitely can learn something. But again, never deviate from the structure of this letter. In the first chapter, Christ as our life. Second chapter, Christ as our example or model. The third chapter, Christ as our mark, a goal. And then last chapter, Christ as our satisfaction. Roughly like this. Okay? Just for us to help. So in a way, there is some kind of logic there. It's no longer according to the logic being presented in the letter. But if you talk about Paul in consciously or unconsciously review his own life, if that's the model of life, then you can see that at least there are four major points here. So now we come to the third chapter. Now Paul talk about himself. You see, because he's starting from, for we. Now we are different. So we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. That's number one. Second, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Number two. Number three, have no confidence in the flesh. Now, of course, for those who Judaizer, they preach about circumcision, they definitely have the confidence in their flesh. But Paul already learned the lesson. First, worship God in spirit. Then second, rejoice in Christ Jesus, no matter in what circumstances, and have no confidence in the flesh. But then, of course, talking about the confidence, so he continued to say, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I am more so. So Paul used himself as a good example. The reason why Paul did not go that way, because Paul learned a very important lesson. He was well taught. And if you trace back the source of his teaching, you even can trace back to Gospel of Matthew. You see? Now, if you read on, we were able to appreciate that. So let's just follow his statement. Now, if anyone think he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Now, think about the circumcised the eighth day. So he was very different from Ishmael. Ishmael was circumcised when he was 13 years old. So you see, right after 8 days, he was circumcised. So that's first thing. The second, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, who is Benjamin? Benjamin is the only son of Jacob, who was born in Canaan, promised land. You see? And not only that, what is the tribe of Benjamin? Benjamin, tribe of Benjamin, definitely, finally, stick with the tribe of Judah. They stick together, and then they share the responsibility of carry on the testimony of God. How do we know? Because the temple and the city of God was upon their shoulder. Temple of God represents the presence of God. And city of God represents the testimony of God. If you really have an inner life in the presence of God, then outwardly, definitely, you have testimony. So here you find the temple within, you find the city wall of Jerusalem without. But remember, these two things are in the territory, both of Benjamin and of Judah. So they share the responsibility. The reason, after they were being captured to Babylon and they come back, very simple. You know why the 10 tribes, they get lost? Because they don't care about Lord's testimony. And for them, even they fail God, but they learn the lesson. So finally, when they come back again, remember the temple and the city still upon their shoulder. So that means that Paul belonged to the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Now, Hebrew here is talk about the language. Why? Because at that time, many people, they live in Greek world, so they speak Greek. So these people are Hellenized Jews. It's different. But then some people, even like Paul, when he was in Tarsus, brought in Tarsus, but from the youth, they really spoke the language of Hebrew. So a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. How proud of it, you see? And concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Now remember, the persecuting is the same word. Later Paul said, I pursue. The same word. You see, the same word. So when you talk about either persecuting or talk about pursue, you talk about zeal. We talk about Christian zeal. Paul almost he's become an old man now, but somehow you find his zeal in Paul. And then concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Of course, this blameless means according to a ceremonial blameless. It's not the moral blameless. So if you really judge all this, you find that now Paul, if you talk about his history, talk about the purity of his pedigree, purity of his genealogy, he has something to be proud of. He has something to boast of. For that things, what things were gained to me? Think about it. When he was in Judaism, before he was converted, he thought, these are all gained to me. These I have counted lost for Christ. Now, brother, this is a testimony. Do you see? Now, something definitely much better than they think. Because these are the gains. So, what things were gained to me, this I have counted lost for Christ. I consider lost for Christ. Not only this. He tried a large application. He said, yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Now, what kind of language here? Let's listen carefully. Yes, indeed, I also count all things lost, not only Judaism, not only those things I consider as gain, were gain to me, you see? That means the life of Paul, definitely he lived for to reach that. He tried to grasp all those. You see, he was proud of his history, and that's supposed to be gain to him. He said, I have count loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, why he count all things lost? Because, for what? for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. In other words, compare with the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. No comparison. You see, those things supposed to be gained, actually they are lost. There's no comparison. Here I found the pearl. Here I find something that you can never get anywhere. That's called the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Not just goodness of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, no, excellence. You see, not only something much more than that. You see? So that's why for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, I also count all things lost. Now for whom? For my Lord, I have suffered the loss of all things. You see, that is life. And count them as rubbish. He turned his back to all those things. Those things supposed to be gain, but actually they are rubbish. Now for what purpose? Why I suffer, not only count the loss, also suffer the loss of all things. Do you see? Not only count loss for Christ. Not only I also count all things lost for Christ, he also said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Brothers, sisters, no one can compare with my Lord. No one can compare with the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, how beautiful it was his testimony. How he was able to deal with the Judaizer. Now, what he's doing, brothers, only way to understand this paragraph is according to the word of our Lord in chapter 5 in Sermon on the Mount. What the Lord said. The Lord said, unless your righteousness surpass that of Pharisees and scribes, you will never enter into the kingdom. Brothers, sisters, think about it. Concerning the law of Pharisee. So if there are only two persons who should be able to enter into heaven, one of them should be Pharisee, another one should be scribe. So Paul was such a person. Now think about it. If anyone should be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven, remember, only these two. Pharisees and scribe. And Paul definitely is one of them. Paul should be able to enter into the kingdom. But the Lord Jesus says, no. Unless your righteousness surpass. Think about it. Now, the righteousness of scribe and the Pharisee, they are commendable. Think about it. When other people fail, they still stick to the law. They still obey the word of God. Now, we have to say, that's why there's something for Paul to be proud of. Now, he said, as concerning the law, a Pharisee, that's the gain to him. Think about it. That's wonderful reputation. That tells the world that what kind of achievement he has. But after he discovered, after he was at the feet of his master, then he discovered something. Even the best righteousness, according to the law, think about it. Among all the people, only people of the Jews, they are able to keep the law. They are able to at least to keep the Sabbath. So, brothers, sisters, now it is very clear. So, brothers, when you talk about law, when you talk about the righteousness which according to law, Paul said that he was blameless. So then he definitely should be able to stand before the day of Christ. He should be able to pass, he should be able to be before the judgment seat. And he should be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. No. So now you see that in order to enter into the kingdom, you need something excellent. You have to do much more than others. Even pagan kind to their brethren. So if you only love your brother, you only greet your brother, that's not enough. That's love, but this only the love of half a circle. But now if you're able to love your enemy, that's different.
Because God's love is perfect love. Why? Because God not only sends the rain to the good people, also bad people. He gives the sunshine for the good one and for the bad. Now, my brothers and sisters, do you see that when God loved his enemy, loved the bad people? Now, you see, this love is not just half a circle. This is a wrong. This is really a full circle. So then the Lord Jesus said, you should be perfect as the perfection of the Heavenly Father. Now, we will never be as perfect as Heavenly Father as far as our holiness, sanctification is concerned. No. But if you read the context, there's only one possibility we should be able as perfect as our Father when we love our enemy. So you see, brothers and sisters, now when you love your enemy, there's always something more. For all the pagan, for all the people, they all share the same love. They say, we love our friend, we love our brother. That's wonderful love, but that's only half of the circle. That's not perfect one. You ought to be perfect. So brothers and sisters, now the requirement of the kingdom of heaven, you should have love, but you cannot have just love represented by an arc, no. It ought to be represented by a full circle. So remember, when someone hit your cheek, now you should turn another cheek. Even you say, oh, I don't know anything, even I swallow everything, but you are not happy. Why? Because you never turn another cheek. Now only when you turn another cheek, then you feel comfortable. Why? Because the light within demands that you should turn another cheek. If you don't turn another cheek, your enemy never complain, because he never wants you another cheek. So who wants you another cheek? It is our Lord. So if you don't obey that, you don't offend your enemy, you offend your dear Lord. So now, brothers and sisters, when you talk about kingdom of heaven, always something excellent. So this is what is this? This is so what is this? Now this is called the excellence of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. So if you read the Sermon on the Mount, what do you have? Here you have the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. If you only love your brother, even pagan does the same thing, do you do anything more? So when you talk about reward, it means you always do something more. Do you see that? So one day, if we receive our crown, if we receive our reward, what does that mean? You always something more. Why? Because your life, it will always something extra. Always something more. Our life is, let's call it more life. It means this, always something more, always something overflow. Now you want one cheek of mine, I always turn another cheek. Always something more. You see? Now when you hit my cheek like this way, I always turn another cheek. You can even give me an even more heavier blow. Now brothers, that's Christian. Our victory is a full victory. Our victory is not that we almost had our victory. No, not at all. So by this way, brother, sister, now you can understand. Now, Paul, actually, he learned the lesson at the feet of Christ. So immediately, you see, the whole epistle is in that atmosphere, in that atmosphere of kingdom. All with the day of Christ. Now, yes, very good. Now, in chapter 1, chapter 2, three times mentioned about the day of Christ. We have laid hold of the word of life. Then, you see, Paul should be rejoicing in the day of Christ, then he will not run in vain. So you see, brothers and sisters, here you can, and you can understand, that's the whole project with Paul. And now, when we talk about his own secret life, his personal life, now again, even he was Paul, he learned the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, even from the words of Christ, through Matthew. So no one can talk about the kingdom of heaven like our Lord. So that's why in that wonderful book of Matthew, you see that in Matthew 5, 6, 7, in Sermon on Mount, we are given, you know. Now, you see, if we want to enter into the kingdom, our righteousness should surpass that of Pharisees and scribes. But now, these Judaizers, what do they want? They just want everybody to have the righteousness of Pharisees and scribes, that's all. But even that, not good enough. Even that, brother, sister, it is good for you to enter into Messianic kingdom, but it's not good for you to enter into the kingdom of heavens. So, brothers, sisters, now you can see that. That's why when you talk about the kingdom, always talk about excellence. So here you have, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, now I also count all things lost. On the one hand, I count all things lost for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish. For what purpose? I may gain Christ. In another word, I may enter into the kingdom of heaven. So very clear, three times the Lord said, don't say that the Lord, Lord, you should be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. No, only those who keep, only who obey the will of Heavenly Father. And also on another occasion, unless you turn and become one of the little ones. Now brothers, you will never enter into the kingdom. So here you can understand. Now, in order to stand before the day of Christ, in order to be before the judgment seat, in order to receive the reward, to receive a half crown. Now, my brothers and sisters, now here you see Paul. He got a message. He was the one really preached gospel, preached grace. But thank the Lord, only Paul, he understood very well the teaching of our Lord. So that's why, that's his testimony. He counted all things lost and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Of course, this verse really caused the problem to the church in Shanghai. You know, during the time of persecution, of course, many people stood up and saying that, you know, why these people are, they are anti-revolutionary? Because now they say, because according to them, they said, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, when these Christians say, count all things, including Mao Zedong. So that's really become the problem. You see, now if you count everything lost, even including political figure, then you are in trouble. But that's actually not, of course, that's not the intention, but that's the one of the reasons why the church in Shanghai, now once upon a time, they suffer. Not because of such an understanding. But brothers and sisters, with Christians, everybody knows that indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of knowledge of Christ, my Lord. For what a purpose that I may gain Christ. So brothers, to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So to die means to gain more of Christ. So so now you can understand how we should be able to live for the Lord. So that's his testimony. I may gain Christ. Now some translation, I may win Christ. For the Reformed students, now they dare not to translate this way, but in Greek it definitely this translation. I may gain Christ, or I may win Christ. When you use that kind of term, as if you have to use your energy, you have to do something. But of course, how, when you work out your salvation, actually, behind that work, God already worked in. So, through that kind of union, through that kind of cooperation, then you see how we really grow. So how, what do you mean by gain Christ? Now, finally, if you read on, you will know. Now Paul tried to help us. What does he mean by gaining Christ? Now, verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, and if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now if you read all this passage, that will tell you what does Paul mean by gaining Christ. First, I will be found in him. Now remember, Paul already in Christ. So he starts with the position, union with Christ. But he ended up with being found in Christ. So that's the real union with Christ mentioned in the Bible. So here you know that Paul seemed to tell us his secret, how he can grow in the Lord. Because when he gained Christ, means that he grew in the Lord. He then definitely, then people will see the beauty and glory in Paul's life. Because for me to live is Christ. So important thing, how can I gain Christ? So he's telling us our experience. Now everybody knows that Paul talked about in Christ in his epistles. So definitely Paul start from in Christ, union with Christ. But then after the progress, finally the goal is being found in him, and again the union with Christ. Now for some young people, let me try to explain a little bit here, because that's very important. Now when we talk of mysticism, those people who really believe the intimate life, inner life, in the before the presence of the Lord, of course they help us a lot. So these people, we call them mystic in the church. Like Martin Gill is one of them, and many others. But actually, in the Bible, you'll find two great mystics. Definitely, they are mystic. One is John, another one is Paul. They really lived that life before the Lord. But now, why today we are shy away from general mysticism? Why? Nothing wrong with mystics. Nothing wrong with their experience. But now, because of the development in the church history, now mysticism become a system of thought. And then if you really do the close examination of that system of thought, you'll find many points really against the Word of God. Now I have no time to go through it. Now for example, according to the general understanding, every one of us every one of us is able to have fellowship with God, to have a union and a fellowship with God. Why? Because according to this system, the thinking is that every one of us already have the spark of God inside of us. So as long as you kindle that spark, as long as you activate the spark, then you're able to have a communion with God. Now that's of course wrong. Now, only those who are born from above, only the children of God, now they have a right, they have a position, they have possibility to have fellowship with their Heavenly Father. So remember, this is definitely is a basic mistake here. Now, if you talk about other things, much more. But the general idea is this. For those people who love the Lord, who want to grow to the Lord, so they assume that God is in heaven. We are on earth. So in order to reach heaven, you need a heavenly ladder. So remember, through the heavenly ladder, you are able to climb up to God. So if you want to have a union with God or communion with God, what you are going to do, the first thing is that, remember, you start by yourself alone on earth. And God is in heaven. So through the heavenly ladder, now, which means some kind of spiritual exercises. This will tell you what kind of exercise you have to do. So after you have this spiritual exercise, eventually you reach heaven. Eventually you unite with God. Eventually you are part of God. Eventually you're lost in the great ocean, just like what Martin Gion said. And not only that, and eventually you are deified. Now, brothers and sisters, remember that's the core of the theory of this mysticism. But brothers, Paul also was a great mystic. Paul also had a wonderful experience before the Lord. But now, the true mysticism, according to the Bible, is given in this wonderful chapter. What does that mean? It means that if you really want to have fellowship with the Lord, remember, by when the time when we believe in Jesus Christ, we already been placed in Christ. So our starting point is never alone. Our starting point, we start with the union with Christ. So you're never alone. If you're alone, what you are going to do? You have to do some work. You have to do some spiritual exercise. Then you have to work so hard. You have to work out your salvation as if then by this way, finally you reach heaven. Finally you are united with God. So then Madame Guyon tell you how we can reach there, and all the mystics also tell us how we can reach there. But according to the Bible, now it is true. In the Bible, you do have a union with Christ. That's why Paul talk about in Christ. And also talk about Christ in Paul. So you see, in Christ, and Paul in Christ, and Christ in Paul. Now, you see, when you put these two formulas together, that's called union with Christ. So no doubt about it, that's really biblical. And also, you have some experience. Now, when Paul said, I gained Christ. So definitely, this is the process of gaining, this process of growing. So what was he do? Thank the Lord. Now, when he talk about gaining Christ, he said, be found in him. So he started with in him, being in him. He end up with being found in him. So in other words, if you want to reach, if you have a wonderful union with Christ, you already start with in Christ. That means you do not do your own work. Now, because you are union with Christ, so you are supplied with your strength will be supplied by Christ. So never by your own work. While you work out your salvation, Christ work in to do and to will. So brothers, remember, you always link with someone else. That one is Christ. So that's why, that's very important, brothers, sisters. That's why the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, is very important. Otherwise, you definitely will go that way of mysticism or go that way of Judaism. You have to work so hard, finally, to please the heaven, finally, to win the heaven. But that's never the thought in the Bible. Paul talk about gain Christ. He simply means that that I may gain the heaven. That's true. No doubt about that. But what did he do? He did nothing. He started with grace. He end up with grace. He started with Christ and I. He end up with Christ and I. So that's how we are mature. That's how we become spiritual. So brothers, sisters, very interesting. Paul already in him. But now he said, I count all things lost for the excellence of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And then when he's doing that, brothers, sisters, finally, he end up with be found in him. So from union with Christ to the union with Christ. From the initial union with Christ to the further union with Christ. Finally, the Christ saturate, fill his eyes. Finally, he really enjoyed the fullness of Christ. So that's always the way. Now, normal mysticism means that you have to do something. You start by your own effort. You work all the way from earth to heaven. No. We start from heaven on earth in the beginning. Then we walk together. When I walk out, then he walk in. He work in. Then, brother, sister, that's a wonderful union with Christ. And then finally, when we reach maturity, we found that we have a wonderful, fuller union with Christ. Same thing with church in Philippi. They begin with the seed of the gospel. They're already in Christ. But now finally, they bear the fruit of righteousness. So thank the Lord, brother, sister, not only the righteousness, but also the fruit of righteousness. That's how we should be able to gain Christ. I think this is very important knowledge. This is called the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord. And then, not only that, if you found in him, then you discover you start from the justification by faith. You end up also justifying by faith. So you initiate by the Holy Spirit, you end up also with the Holy Spirit. So that's the program here. You see, brothers, so when we talk about enter into a kingdom, and Jesus said, only those who do the violence, they should be able to enter into it. What does that mean? only those who really do the violence to themselves, who really deny themselves, who really count all things lost for the excellence of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And that I may gain Christ, that them I can gain heaven, that finally I may reach the goal. So you see, brothers and sisters, if you read this, you will find it's very different from the language of so-called mysticism. Now that's really evangelical. Now the union, the union and communion with Christ, that definitely according to the word, no doubt about that. Never sentimental anymore. Never like Madame Guillaume always put the stones in her shoes. Now make her aching. Then he said, oh, that's the way I take up my cross. No, that's artificial one. You see, brothers and sisters, by this way, now we are able to avoid all the mistake given by mysticism throughout the church history. So this is called the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Alright, now that's verse 9. Now verse 10, that I may know him. That's intimacy. You see, brothers? Now, when you gain Christ, that means now you may know him much more. You already knew him. But now I may know him, so that means the intimacy. So the more we have fellowship with the Lord, then the more we will experience that intimacy. Actually, it is much closer to the Lord. So that I may know him. But not only you will receive, not only you have the intimacy with the Lord, and also you have the power. And the power of his resurrection. So brothers, sisters, now you can see that there is some power is worked in you called the power of his resurrection. And because of power of his resurrection, that's why I'm able to have fellowship of his sufferings. Do you see? Not suffering first, then the power. It is power first, then the suffering. Now, if you receive the power by the wonderful feast at his table, then that feast will sustain you, will give you enough strength to have fellowship in his suffering. So the order here is different. Do you see that? Now everything is supplied. Everything is Holy Spirit try to work in to do for you to do or for you to will. And being conformed into his death. Now, brothers, sisters, do you see that? First resurrection, then the suffering, then being conformed to his death. Now this death definitely is much deeper. We don't have time to go to the detail. Now if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now the being attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now those who know Greek tells us. Now here in Greek it gives us some kind of feeling. This resurrection is different from any other. This resurrection will give you some kind of quality. You see, not necessarily, of course, everybody, all those believe will be in the part of first resurrection. Now, when we talk about first resurrection, we always talk about the resurrection before millennial kingdom. Then all the people who do not believe in the Lord, they will be resurrected after the millennial kingdom. So that's not the first resurrection. So those who are blessed, who have a part in first resurrection. No doubt, Paul definitely has a part in the first resurrection. But that first, not only talk about the time order, it is all talk about the quality. So for the overcomers, for those who really gain Christ, remember, that's why Paul said, I may attain to the best resurrection from the dead. In other words, when we experience the first resurrection, not the first, not according to its order, not only 1,000 years before the rest, not only that, and for the overcomers, and Bible did not tell us a further knowledge, but one thing we know, Paul was waiting for the better resurrection from the dead. In another word, not only first in order, also first in quality. So, brothers and sisters, when you talk about the kingdom, you talk about not only life. Now, we start with life,
But then you end up with character.
In the kingdom, you talk about quality. You talk about character. You talk about quality. So even the resurrection is not a common one. So here Paul said, I may attain. Strictly speaking, you do not do anything. Definitely you will be part in the first resurrection. But the phrase, the word he used, the verb he used, is somehow he should be able to arrive at. So by this way, he worked out his salvation with trembling and with fear. But at the same time, Holy Spirit is doing something in us. So that's his story. That's how tell us how he gained Christ. How he lived a life. To live to me is Christ, and to die is gain. Now he can guarantee his death should be a harvesting one, should be a harvest. Thank the Lord. So that's his secret. But then, verse 12. Now that's very important warning. Not that I have already attained or already perfected. Now that's a great blow to those mysticism. Some people think that now they can become God. They become so spiritual they can be deified. No such a thing, brother, sister. Even Paul definitely was the model. If anyone really gained Christ, no one can learn more lesson than Paul. Then he said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold on me. He remembered on the way to Damascus. He had now, Christ Jesus has laid hold of Paul. Now there must be reason. Once caught, never escape. God must have a purpose for Paul. So he said, I press on, I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now, when I was caught by Jesus, when I was arrested by the heavenly Lord, now there must be reason. He must have purpose in me. But now I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So he lived according to purpose. He knew that why he was saved. Now, brothers, why you are saved? You say, oh, because I was miserable. Because I was dead in sin. Yes, that's all true. But God has a program. God has a kingdom project in you. So, brothers, sisters, don't waste your time anymore. Time is very short. And actually, our Lord is come back very, very soon. So, verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So, Paul assumed himself still in the race, in the course of racing, in the racing court. And then he said, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, for Paul to forget the things in behind is not easy. We have nothing to be forget about. You see, for us it's easy to forget because how many books you have behind you. Now, by that time, Paul already written at least 6 books, right? And he has 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, and then you have Romans, Galatians, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, now including others. Now, brothers, sisters, for Paul to remember to forget the things which are behind, not easy. You see, that's our problem. That's the reason why we can never have a progress. We always remember our victory 10 years ago. So when you listen to some testimony, he always going back to 10 years ago. That's the reason why he stopped growing. Do you see that? For the Paul, he has so many things to tell. He has so many books to tell. He has so many things. But remember, this is not something bad. No, even something good. Even something so spiritual. Because we thought they were so spiritual, we'll never forget them. So brothers, that's why you always remember your victory. But not today's victory, brothers. Because of that, you can only talk about the victory 10 years ago. How about today? You see, what God wants is today. If today, you can no longer say that you already stopped growing. You can never live in the past. So many people, they stop growing because they only remember many years ago how I was victorious, how I win many people to Christ. The Lord never asked that. The Lord asked, what happened today? How about last 10 minutes? How about last year? What have you done? What have you accomplished? Brother, sister, do you see that? Now that's important, because sometimes we always live according to the past. Oh, how I was a wonderful leader. How can I lead a whole church going here and there? Now, brother, you'll remember you were still elder, but you already changed the place. Yes, in that place you were the elder, you were the leader. But when you change your place, you can never forget that. You think that if you are elder, you will be elder everywhere. But brother, that's impossible. Now you change your place. Remember, you change your time. God wants you to press on. Don't always remember don't always remember your achievement in the past. These are the great hindrance when you want to run the race for Christ. So you see, brothers, that's very important. That's a secret that Paul really tells us. For him, he has, you know, it's not easy for him to forget, but he forgot. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. Brothers, sisters, many things ahead of you. When you share the testimony, you only talk about what happened yesterday, what happened today, what happened this moment, what happened tomorrow. You see? And then I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now we understand. When Paul said, I press on toward the goal. So he has a goal. Christ as his goal. Because he wants to gain Christ. But because he gained Christ, he pressed on toward the goal for the prize of upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there is a prize awaiting for us. In the day of Christ, we'll be given that prize. Today, if we are suffering with Him, one day we'll be glorified with Him. So brother, sister, no matter how much we are misunderstood, no matter how much we are neglected, fine. Everything is fine. Now, one thing we have to do. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward goal call of God in Christ Jesus. So, brothers, sisters, this is that's what Paul tried to tell us. He already so spiritual. He already so advanced in the Lord. But think about it. That his spirit. He never reached there. He still go on. He was in prison, yes. He's not far from martyrdom, yes. Of course, he lived another 5 years later. That's true. But anyway, he's not far from martyrdom. Then why he's still running the race? He should be retired. But Paul never retired. Do you see? Even he is in prison, he's still running his race. So, thank the Lord. He said, I press toward the goal for the prize of an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There is a heavenly call. Our city is in heaven. So you see, brothers, sisters, he was imagining the race on earth. How by pressing on, then you are able to receive your prize. But the prize from this earth is only the wreath, you know, made by flowers. But now we are able to get our prize, which is heavenly, which is never faded away. And verse 15. Therefore, let us as many as mature. Actually in Greek it's not this. In Greek, let as many as are perfect. Have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Now why I insist that in Greek it means as many as are perfect. So, therefore, let us, as many as are perfect, have this mind, have in anything you think otherwise, God are mature, having God will reveal even this to you. So for those who are really being perfect, think this way, have this mind, you are not perfect yet. What does that mean, brother, sister? So this simply means that the perfection here is a relative one, never an absolute one. Of course, Christ is our absolute goal. When we really grow unto the full stature of Christ, that's something really definitely absolute. So if you think about absolute perfection, even Paul never reached there. But now when Paul said, now, therefore let us, he included himself and also the saint in Philippi, as many as perfect. So did Paul contradict with himself? He said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. So that means Paul was not perfect. But then he said, now let us, when you talk about us, as many as are perfect. So that means in the church of Philippi, some of them perfect. And including us means Paul also perfect. So we should have this mind that we have not perfect yet. So what does that mean? This is very simple. It simply means that perfection in the Bible, it means maturity. Maturity only talk about maturity of life. That doesn't mean perfect. A mother mature in his life, in her life. Then finally she is able to depart or to impart his life to others. Now we know that's maturity. But that doesn't mean that the mother is perfect. You see? So that's very important. Now when Paul talked about perfect, he talked about now the perfection according to the degree of our life. So then verse 16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained. Now, Paul talk about degree. Do you see? In another word, now perfection is not something absolute. It's something relative. It's proportional to our life. For example, if our life is this much, if this tall, so then with the supply, the energy of the life you have, now you ought to work out your salvation. You have to press on. Now, if you obey the word of the Lord, finally, you complete your race. Finally, you reach your goal. But that goal is only in that level, spiritual level of your spiritual life. But then, because you obey the Lord, remember, your life grow. When the life grow, then your life not only perfect, your life also growing higher. When you're going higher, then the demand of that life is much bigger. So the requirement from the Lord is more, much more. So in the beginning, you can only carry probably 1 kilo of the weight. But now because your life is getting older, much better, now you are 16 years old, so now you probably are able to carry 10 kilos. You see what I mean? So by this way, now remember, when you are in your age 16, now if you are being given the work to carry the load of 10 kilos, now remember, now if you really fulfill your work, if you really work out yourself and you really press on, then you really gain Christ, you really reach the maturity, reach the perfection in that round, in that circle, according to your level. So brothers, you're almost perfect, but then you're calling up because your life grow. Then another circle. So Christian life is helical. On one hand, it's round, but on the other hand, we always call upward. Our life always grow. So brothers and sisters, according to the degree of our life, then we definitely had to run our course, and finally we complete the course. Then we almost circle, but then you see we are caught up again. So the final curve is helical. That's why look at the vine tree, it's helical. Look at the DNA, double helix. And New Jerusalem. Brother, sister, how can you have one street, one river of living water, and you have to bypass, you are passing by 12 gates. Only one way out is the, that street really reached every 12 gates. That's one circle. But now because the whole city is built among the mountain, So that way it's always going up and up and up. Then during, in the middle of the street, you have the river flow from the river of throne. So brother, the way to the throne of God, the way we grow in Christ, the way we gain Christ, what is the pattern? The heavenly pattern is helical. Now, if it's helical, what does that mean? You never come. Only when you reach the throne, we will say, that's complete. Only when we arrive at, reach the day of Christ, then, brother, sister, by that time, we will be like Him. But even today, remember, yes, for those, let us, as many as mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us by the same mind. Don't let us be divided. Not because you are more spiritual. I'm behind. No. We walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. So you see, brothers and sisters, never let the degree of our life, degree of our perfection divide us. For some people, brother, remember, now, to enjoy something is not worldly. But for some other people, yes, that's the world. So brothers, if you think that's the world, you should not apply the same rule to the other people. No. You see, they are still childish. They are still far behind. Now you need more encouragement. You need more help to Him that finally they may be as mature as you are. So by this way, brothers and sisters, no one is able to be proud. Since you have no ruler to measure yourself and other people. So, brothers, sisters, and now we know that we will never reach there. So, Paul said, I have already, not that I have already attained. So, in conclusion, remember, let us remember that there is no sinless perfection on this earth. Remember, brothers, only our Lord Jesus is sinless, perfect one. Now, today, by His grace, we only press on. So, in verse 17, brethren, join in following my example, and note those who are so walk, as you have us for a pattern. So, thank the Lord. Throughout the whole chapter, Paul presents himself as a pattern. And now we know that how he walked this way. Now we also can walk in his footprint. So by this way, we learn a lot. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Now brothers, and those who really follow Paul, they are the friends of the cross of Christ. So you see, some people, they are enemy, but we are not. We are the friends of the cross of Christ. And whose end, for these people, the end is destruction. Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Who set their mind on earthly things. But then, verse 20, such a wonderful turn. For our city is in heaven, from which we also eager wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the work by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He already started the work of transformation today. But that day, he will do something so completely, he even tried to transform our body. Transform our lower body, that it may conform to his glorious body. That's all happened in the day of Christ. That's all happened in our glorious D-Day. We are looking forward to that. So chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved, long for brethren, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Again, he went back to the beginning. You should stand fast in the Lord. And he said, I implore you, dear, and implore Cynthia to be the same man in the Lord. Again, the same issue. You see, Paul repeat again, but now he's speaking to his joy and his crown. His joy today, his crown in the day of Christ.
So you see how beautiful when Paul wrote this letter, it really put in such a beautiful way. Now, if you go to the chapter 4, now, without going into detail, of course, Paul remember how during the 10 years, now, Paul always in their heart. So even remember who sent Paul out to preach the gospel, church in Antioch. And think about it, even the church of Antioch fell to support Paul when he got involved with the project, kingdom project in Europe. But thank the Lord, it is Philip, the church in Philippi remember him. Of course, he tried to thank him. But during he thanked them. So, for example, let's read verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lack opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So you see, brothers, through this small letter, think about it, that's very real. When you talk about money, something very real. Think about it. Do you think that he is able to depend on the Lord? When he was sent by the church in Antioch, but Antioch actually forgot him. If you read the whole letter, you know that even other people forget of him, but somehow the Lord remembered him. So through the church in Philippi, and you see, somehow you see that all the need was wonderfully met. But important thing is that in this matter about money, in this matter of giving and receiving, now here you are able to see that nobleman. You see, brothers, sometimes money will drag us down. When you talk of money, as if give you the impression that now we become so worldly, we become so earthly. Now, Paul is able to talk about money. Paul is able to talk about giving and receiving. But remember, behind that giving and receiving, behind that daily life, now Paul gave us a wonderful secret. What he said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. He really enjoyed Christ as his satisfaction. But brother, that's really a paradox. Why I press on? Because I'm not satisfied. Why press on? Because I feel something lacking. But what a paradox. On the one hand, press on. On the other hand, I have no need whatsoever. I am satisfied. I am content. Oh, how beautiful it is, brother, sister. On the one hand, he is the man work out his salvation. On the one hand, he is the man who press on toward the goal. But on the other hand, as if he was restless. He never stopped. He never sit down. You see, that's him. He wanted perfection. So that's why, you know, when we were well trained, when we were young, you know, my father has 7 kids. So each one of us has learned how to do the work in the living room and in the bedroom. So after he come back, you know, he will get a white glove. And then he tried to touch this plate and that plate. Then he will know that whether we really clean that part of the furniture or not. So if not, then we'll receive the punishment. So there you discover my father never had a rest. He always have something to work. Now, every time when we saw him sitting down, now we know that's perfect. You see, now we know everything's fine. So you see, brothers, sisters, now remember, Paul really, he practiced perfectionism. He was never satisfied because he always think that something's missing. Thank the Lord. That fire really keep Paul going on. We need that fire, brothers, sisters. If today you think I have enough, oh, I don't need to study more. That's enough, you see, brothers. As long as we know the gospel, that's enough. Now, brothers, sisters, sooner or later you will discover that life is too short. Why life is too short? Because the life is short enough that you cannot go through the 60s book in a wonderful, in a rich way. So, brothers, sisters, that's always the regret.
Why, brother, sister? Because it takes eternity for us to experience the unsearchable riches of Christ. On the one hand, Paul never satisfied. But on the other hand, he said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Oh, brother, sister, through this matter, sometimes he was in great need. But he learned the lesson. He learned in every situation. So again, even in this last chapter, we see Paul. I know how to be abased and know how to be abound. Think about it. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. Either way, Paul is a person who is so content. He is able to be anywhere. You see, brother, any food should be all right. You see, no matter what kind of situation, now, brother, sister, you are content. Whether Chinese food or not Chinese food. You know, for me, it's very amazing. Some people, when they travel to Europe, they even think of every day to enjoy Chinese food. Now, Chinese food becomes a determining factor, whether we should do this or do not. Think about when you are traveling in Europe, you should be able to enjoy the French food or Italian food. But you see, some people, they have to eat certain food. They just cannot live without it. So, brother, that's not Paul. Paul learned this technique. And I know, and that everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He experienced Christ as power, as strength in daily life. Now, Paul is not talking about church life. He's not talking about a big thing. No. He's talking about, you know, today, whether any bread in the kitchen, today, any water, any milk in the refrigerator. Of course, he has no refrigerator at that time. But anyway, brothers, sisters, do you know that's daily life? But he was able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. How wonderful it is, brothers. That's Paul. You see, such a paradox. On the one hand, he's always feel lacking something. That's why he pressed on. But on the other hand, in these small things, now he learned to be content. So thank the Lord. Such a noble person. Such a wonderful person. So verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Do you see that? Now, everybody, important thing is not the gift. Now, now I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. One day, on the day of Christ, now, in that judgment seat, brothers, sisters, now, you have the fruit that abounds to your account and the fruit of righteousness. So, brothers, sisters, what Paul wants is not a gift. What he wants is the fruit. So you see how beautiful are this statement. And verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So not only Paul is rich, and the church in Philippi also rich. Not Paul is content, the church in Philippi also content. Thank the Lord. Often they gave out, but often, brother, they are lacking something. They need the support from heaven for them to give out. But anyway, brothers, sisters, both this end and that end, you see, they all have a wonderful fellowship with Christ. How beautiful is that picture. So finally, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Can you imagine? Most likely through that golden chain, which he couldn't understand in the very beginning. He thought that's a hindrance for the gospel, but now he discovered that's a furtherance of the gospel. How can you reach the heartland of Roman Empire? Yes, 10 years ago, we began the conquest on the exactly spot where you have the beginning of Roman Empire and Greek Empire. But now after 10 years, brother, sister, what he has is that golden chain. It's a chain with him. And he was so surprised. Through that chain, it become the communication line. Somehow, you see, through that chain, gospel being preached, and even just one by one, and somehow, you know, one by one, these palace guards were saved. And then gradually they pass on the gospel. Think about it. At the very end, now I imagine, when Philippians, they received this greeting, they definitely were very excited. But most important thing, especially those who are of Caesar's household, God can do a wonderful work. That chain, once upon a time, has made him sorrow. With that chain, he was carried all the way to Rome, even the shipwreck. He wanted to go to Rome with joy. He wanted to have a flourish journey, but no, it's a rough journey. Even the shipwreck, God did not answer his prayer. But on the one hand, God answered his prayer. On the other, God did not answer his prayer. Thank the Lord. He wanted to go to Rome with joy. He ended up with joy. He ended up discover the hidden spring of that joy. So he said, rejoice in the Lord. Again I say, rejoice. Now brothers, that's the message. And how that rejoice, how that joy is linked with his suffering, linked with chain. But the Lord can change that iron chain into golden chain. May win many people in the hot part of Roman Empire. Even possible can be penetrated into the palace, into the Caesar's household. Brothers, how can we say? We can only give the glory and praise to the Lord. On the one hand, the Lord did not answer his prayer. On the other hand, the Lord did not answer his prayer. But on the other hand, eventually, God answered his prayer. He really come joy to Rome with joy, but with a deep joy, deeper joy. And that joy also connected with his fruit. Also, how when the church in general really grow, really press on toward that goal, then Paul will say, now, I will never run in vain, especially in that day. He know that when that day, God will wipe away all his tears. Now, he will receive the crown. Remember, the church in Philippi is his crown. And when he received that crown, and brothers, sisters, that's the answer. All the tears, all the misunderstanding, all the suffering will be gone. He was waiting for that day. That's why he's running the race. He's press on toward the goal. So may the Lord really speak to our hearts. May we all have the heart to work out our salvation by understanding that Holy Spirit is working in to do for us to do and to will. Finally, the nature of Christ being formed in us, then the character of Christ being built up. Then when we gather together, here you find the personality of Christ, you find the image of Christ. Finally, the church glorious. So may the Lord really speak to our heart. I know that our time is very limited. Some people even worry about me, how I'm going to finish the message. But finally, we really conclude. But remember, brothers and sisters, we do it in a very quick. You know that very well. We jump from here to there. But that's the beginning for you to appreciate it. Now, this is the beginning for you to remember, to repeat again and again, to go back to Colossians and also to go back to Philippians. You see, brothers, now you ask the Lord to speak to you in a very personal way. So may this light really encourage us, brothers and sisters. I always feel that somehow, you know, brothers, especially in this part of the world, probably everything was so rich. Material gain is everywhere. So young people, they always look for something outward. The heart is not that pure. When you visit Chile, when you visit Romania, they were in different place. They live in quite poor condition. Because especially they have a class struggle between the poor and the rich. And then if you visit those saints in Chile, they belong to the poor class. But fortunately they are poor, they are rich in Christ. If today you send them $100 million, now brothers and sisters, remember you never know what happened later. So what they need is not money. What they need is more of Christ. And we pray the